Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan, and guess who's here? Special guest, producer Mike. Thanks for coming by, Mike.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice to be here. I took extra time out of my week because I'm not usually here every week.
Yeah, no, it's good. You know, we just like to mix it up sometimes. You know, people are like, oh, it's the same old, but it's like, Mike's here this week.
Right.
So, you know, I had an eventful morning. I've had a bad toothache.
Yep.
And, turns out, infected gums.
That sounds painful and also disgusting.
It sounds more disgusting than painful, but I assure you it's more painful than disgusting.
I bet. Did you get a look at this infected gum?
No, he just said it was like, it wasn't discolored in that it was like white.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But instead of I think discolored gums, I think of like some nature video where you're looking at like a baboon's teeth up close and it's like, oh, this was just, you know, just more proof that, you know, my gums were being gentrified. But it was very gross and I'm in a lot of pain, but I always put the podcast first.
Same, likewise.
You know, this might be my Jordan flu game.
I feel the same way. I have a nice dry.
Well, no, pump. You've got to be Pitt. There were not two Jordans. It wasn't Horace Grant lifting up Pippen and Jordan. It was Pippen lifting up Jordan.
Let me ask you, who's Jordan in this situation? If I am not sitting in this chair, does this podcast even make it to people?
It does.
Does it?
I mean, in a rougher, you know, more street format.
Did you learn how to video edit overnight?
No, I would just hold a cell phone in front of me, you know, guerrilla style. That's what the kids like now. I think they want that.
You're not wrong about that.
Well, because they're dumb. The kids are dumb.
Right.
So
we're in a post art world.
Oh God! Wait, the world. It has to end. It has to end. This all must end.
Yes. Wouldn't it be nice?
This. It's not even this Sicilian thing. It's just this human thing must all end, Michael. Wasn't a podcast.
It was an abortion, Michael.
Oh, and then who plays Tom Hagen? We had too much Godfather. I'm sorry. We're veering into it. It's such a comfort zone now.
Yeah, I know.
It's such a warm cultural blanket.
I know.
You know, it's like, oh, when we're discussing the end of art, you know what feels good? To cover yourself in some of the greatest art.
Yes, that's ever. True.
And its sequel, Godfather 2. Which is a great movie.
Yes.
Second best Godfather, I think, by a mile. Both. Yeah, I mean, it's a strong.
Some say it's up for debate.
Well, those are people we'll never have on this podcast. Okay. Except maybe you. Make an exception for you.
Sure.
Also, I found it interesting when people were commenting on the Steve Van Sant content.
Yes.
And despite saying on this episode that I'm like, hey, I don't get bashful or ashamed. If I'm doing something funny, who cares if I look weird or bad? If the goal is the humor. But then somebody commented, Adam Sandler looks rough.
Yeah, that was Gene Getman, my former podcast host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like
it. What offense did you take to that?
Well, here's what I didn't like about it.
I know the song and dance. I could do this chapter and verse.
Here's what I didn't like about it. By the way, I also went to a Broadway show. No, I didn't. I didn't. Broadway.com is a sponsor. They require me to go to a show every week and complain. No, what I took offense to was, I get it. I look like, especially because right now I'm in bad shape. Now I don't look, when I look straight at the camera, I don't look like a fat guy. But there's a lot of looseness here. Like, I can really double chin it pretty quickly because I'm carrying a lot of extra weight. Now, as Steve Van Sant, you know, I got to be, you know, he's always kind of scrunched up and he's like, so I'm not thinking this won't complement my jawline very well. I'm going for the laughs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've heard the Adam Sandler looks rough. You know, what's annoying is when I was buff, nobody was like, Adam Sandler looks extra fucking hot.
Yeah.
They're just like, you look like Adam Sandler. I'm like, no, I don't. I'll fucking destroy Adam Sandler and fuck his wife in front of him.
This is so insane to me. This whole thing. It's just like.
No,
like,
no, that was when I was younger. That's how I would make fans after shows, by saying that exact statement to them when they would say, you look like Adam Sandler. And but what annoyed me about this, have you seen what Adam Sandler looks like right now? That's rough Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Like, oh yes, I'm 45. I'm not going to look like fucking Happy Gilmore. Guess who also doesn't look like Happy Gilmore? Adam Sandler.
This podcast should be called Mountain Out of a Molehill. Yeah. I think that this, that's that,
sweat
that,
the small stuff.
Sweat the small stuff. That's, yes. Yeah. By Kevin James. I just think it's so funny that there's, oh, just like,
that was his special name.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sauna his, like, for small stuff. We got to one up it. Sauna for small stuff.
I just knew the second you were like, oh, somebody like left a comment. I was like, he sees everything. He's offended by all. There is nothing rolls off JL's shoulders at right. all.
Broad shoulders, broad. Could you get it? No. No. And it's, I get it, but it's like at some point, sometimes you just sort of see the 25th reference to something. And it's like, you're not, come on. So of course I'm happy my teeth hurt because I'm eating less, because now that's going to be bulletin board material for me.
Right.
So I'm going to be in naturally. Here by December. I'm basically going to be a fucking mixed martial arts psycho by December.
Would you do mixed martial arts?
For content or for real?
Either.
No, I'm a child psychologist took out the animal in me. I feel like if I wrote a book, Mike, what do you think about this idea? Yeah. If I wrote a book that was really more satirical than, but the satire would only be known to people who know me.
Yeah.
About how going to a child, this fits into a lot of like kind of Venn diagrams. I was a violent kid. I was a smart, violent kid, grew up in a home with some, you know, very strict parents. Mm-hmm. And I was a violent kid. And then my private school said they would kick me. They wanted to keep me in the school, but I would have to see a child psychologist. And I did for a couple of years. And then lo and behold, 2 years later, I'm doing impressions of people and making fun of people instead of hitting them, throwing them down. Mm-hmm. You know, the straw that broke the camel's back was when I chased a classmate with an aluminum bat around the tennis court.
I could see that being concerning.
Fourth grade.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't believe me, and I say, and this is truth.
Yeah.
I was just going to scare them.
Okay.
Which actually is the truth. I still remember. I still said that. And of course, the school couldn't take me at my word.
Of course not. How could they?
So my theory would be like, you know, it fits into kind of a Rogan, Andrew Tate, Robert Kennedy Jr. kind of thing. Therapy for children can often suppress our masculine urges, our defense mechanisms, our strength, our innate strength and aggression as young men. So whereas I could have been an MMA or a wrestler or some kind of like combat sport guy, I had no fear. I went on roller coasters as soon as I was tall enough, which was like 2 years earlier than all my classmates. Mm-hmm. And all that went away. And I feel like if I created a thesis out of this and made like a 110-page paperback book and promoted it on Rogan, I could be a star male influencer. Because it sounds like a new theory, but that feeds into the, when people tell you not to hit and not to chase people with bats, they're actually suppressing, bro, your inner masculine energy. That's how nature made us. Uh-huh. Defend what's yours. And then the pseudo therapists and the medications and they get in the way. They block that. Mm-hmm. There's a place, you got to concede though. There's a place for medicine. I'm not going all out, Mike, and saying there's no place for it, but not there.
Right. Not when it comes to being a fucking man.
Yeah. Like, book title. Being a man is not a psychological problem. Wow, Slick Back Studios will be we'll be drowning in cash like Scrooge McDuck.
It'd be nice.
Oh, should I just go for it?
I think at some point we have to make a decision on when we are like truly going to sell out.
Yeah.
And at some point it's going to have to happen because we're going to just run out of patience and want to live alpha male lifestyles, you know? What are you doing?
That's a song called Patience, Mike.
What?
Do you not know? There's a band, maybe it's before your time, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, I don't know every Guns N' Roses song.
Patience is not any, it's not a B-side, sir. Anyway, the point is, I think this year might be a year as I get into shape, maybe I just, maybe I like do a side project, like the psycho that I am. Like, JL, did you really spend?
Don't do it. No, don't.
Don't do it.
No, because I, you know what's going to happen. You're going to write a thousand page book and then you're going to come on. You're going to say, it's the greatest book that's been written in the last 200 years. There's no American novel that exists that can touch this.
Wait, no,
and then when nobody buys it.
No, that will be my real book, my real book. But I'm talking about the satirical 100 page.
I just feel a storm brewing.
Okay.
All. I think I've been friends with you long enough and worked with you long enough now to recognize when there's a storm.
Yeah, well,
brewing.
Don't give a frustrated artist any creative outlet. I mean, that worked out well for Germany.
No, you have creative outlets. What are you talking about? What do you think this is?
You feel like to talk, if I can mention my new Scientology friends, you sound like a suppressive person right now. I do think Scientology is one of my last ditch. Like I'm very close to just going, maybe I should just join Scientology and see if that opens up some doors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and they would probably be right if they were like, our meter says that you have a lot of problems. And I'd be like, all right, well, it turns out your meter's right. Tom Cruise, you got me.
All right. I'm listening.
So speaking of great things that people don't appreciate, guess what?
What?
My special half blackface. It's now on Amazon Prime.
That's great.
And the amount of people who watched it and complimented it as soon as it went for free and had nothing to say for 4 months when it was $5 speaks to me about where we are as a, you know, in entertainment.
Yeah.
It's just, it's free or no thank you.
Yes.
And that's a little frustrating. But it's still nice that people are watching it. And I think I get, you know, like an eighth of a cent for every watch. So.
You're in the money.
Make space in that corner in our money pit for more money. But yeah, anybody who's listening to this for crying out loud, I'm sorry if I sound exasperated, but I assume you like me because you think I'm funny. This is my finest work as a stand-up comedian, half blackface. It's on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon, it's free. Stream it, tell friends if you like it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have Amazon, which you always have to prepare for the person who goes, oh, I don't have that. Sorry, but congrats anyway.
Yeah.
A free trial. So I know you have enough money for a free trial. That I'm, do you think I'm right in saying that, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bold assertion.
I think if people are, you know, if they want to actually support you for real, it is a small ask.
Yeah. The free trial.
Yeah.
I think it's the smallest.
Get the free trial,
ask.
Watch the thing. And then get rid of it.
And then email Amazon and say, I only did this for JL. So you better more JL content.
Now we're getting a little.
All right.
But the free trial. Yes, you can get the free trial. It's free. Come on.
Let's yeah.
Can you make my life easier and just do this, please?
Yeah. See, see everybody.
But
so
for the love of God, audience,
half blackface,
you might not care about JL, but if you care about me, if you have any mercy, just watch this fucking thing, please.
Yeah.
That should help.
Thank you, Mike. I felt the support. It only destroyed my life for 2 years. Yeah, so go get that. I'm in Syracuse on April 25th. That's the only show, which is the day after my birthday, April 24th. Mm. So it's a big month for me. I mean, there's so many reasons. It's my birthday. Like, watch the special as, like, you know, costs you nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
And you'll enjoy it, I think. If you enjoy me, like, if you stumbled on this episode and you're like, I'm not sure about this guy. Okay, but if you like me, then go watch it.
Please.
April 25th in Syracuse. And obviously, Making Podcasts Great Again, my other podcast. And check out the Patreon. Birthday is always a good time to throw a couple bucks for that bonus content.
That's right.
Mike, how do you feel about Caitlin Clark before we get to our main topic today?
You know, I recognize that she's very good at what she does. She can shoot the shit out of the basketball. And I think she's been very good for elevating women's sports. I can't remember ever in my life the WNBA draft being covered by any media outlet. And I actually like saw it on Instagram. So that's probably a good thing. It's nice to elevate women in sports, but I don't have much of an opinion, to be honest. I think she's good at what she does. And, you know, that's kind of that for me.
I think she is. And I say this with all due respect to all the women who've played basketball on earth in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
First time I've ever been interested in women's basketball.
Because of her talent?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't like the tone of that. That sounded accusatory. Like, no, are you saying, asking. Are you saying she doesn't have other value to society besides her basketball?
I'm just asking.
Wow.
I was in the pre-show meeting.
All I get told is how pro women and feminist and all this. And all of a sudden what I'm saying is, I found it very interesting. The sort of critiques of, I don't even know if they're critiques, but like, once she emerged, and it's her style of play. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that I saw highlights of her last year, and then I tuned in to watch South Carolina, Iowa, like a couple days later, because I was like, whoa, I've never seen a woman play like that.
Right.
It was very Steph Curry-esque. That's not an exaggeration. Like, it was pulling up from fucking 25, 30 feet.
Yeah.
It was the quick release. Her game was very Steph Curry-esque, and she was, she looked like she was, kind of dominating women's college basketball the way Curry did in like his unanimous MVP season.
Right.
And when I tuned in, I mean, she is very exciting to watch. I feel like women's basketball, no offense to the, other than Brittany Griner, I haven't seen any like, female bigs meaning like, power forward centers who there's nothing less appealing than a below the rim.
Yeah.
Like interior player.
Right.
It's just, it's awful.
Right, right. Right.
No matter how good you are, it's not saying you're not good, et cetera. It's awful to watch.
Yeah.
And
it is,
but what she's able to do is her style of game. This is the truth. Guys, this is the truth. Sorry if you got some other reason to like women's basketball. The reason Caitlin Clark has elevated the game and is so awesome to watch is because her game resembles a top-tier male player in a way that no other female game can. Like playing like Steph Curry is the most attainable version of women's basketball that could look like men's basketball.
Sure.
You're not... Brittany Griner was fucking nasty, is nasty, but still comparing the way she plays to like a 6'8" man,
right?
Not even close.
Right.
Like but watching Caitlin Clark, it's as close as women can get to the men's game in terms of like making a comparison and it not being sort of, it's the crappy version, the slow version, the short version. It's like, it kind of looks like what he does. And of course, everybody, as soon as, and race is good. Race is good for boosting sports. I'm not saying she's white, although that is a factor, of course. The only thing that could be better for women's sports is if next year a black Caitlin Clark emerges.
Yeah.
And then the WNBA may have their bird magic to literally uplift the league to really big heights.
Well, isn't that potentially what Angel Reese?
No.
Well, I guess she's not as good, but
she's
high profile.
Yeah. 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 You can enjoy and like all sorts of players, but I'm talking, you need the counterpart. You need like a rival at the position of a different race.
Sure.
And that's just, but the reason I bring up race is because I could see a lot of guys, mostly black men, as far as I was running into, becoming women's basketball historians overnight, mm-hmm. like digging through like, yes, I'm sure you were a huge Cheryl Miller fan when you were five.
Right.
Wasn't everybody?
Right. Right.
Like I'm sure Cheryl Swoops changed your world in seventh grade. I'm sure you weren't like all the other boys mocking professional women's basketball. I'm sure you were the one rocking a Houston Comets jersey to your middle school games.
Yeah.
No, it's because her game is the closest to a man's game. And it's guard play and shooting is the area where women can most closely match men. And nobody did that with Steph Curry. Steph Curry absolutely changed the game. And nobody kind of did the thing where it was like, Dale Ellis was a fucking killer three-point shooter in the 80s. Why is nobody talking about him?
Right.
No, because it was like, that's ridiculous. We're watching Steph Curry play. The eye test says, I've never seen this before. Caitlin Clark, same thing. But I also realized, nice legs on Caitlin Clark. She's not my type.
There it is.
Yeah. What? That's, I mean, that's going to be part. That's part of that. You know, Michael Jordan sold sneakers because he was slick looking also, not just because of his talent. He was a marketable looking guy. So I think Caitlin Clark's got to do like some high heel endorsements. Let's keep it thigh down.
Sure.
Is that okay? Can I say that? Let's just keep it. We'll keep it.
Say whatever you want.
You know, get some Prada, some Jimmy Choo's, some Louboutins, get those endorsements going. But I didn't expect it. It's almost like the tube sock baggy shorts look is not a good one for women.
Yeah, well, and I think that basketball has become a fashion sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is also translating to the women's game too. So it kind of makes sense that like a young, she looked cool at the WNBA draft. So, I mean,
but do people realize how tall six, like it's one of those things where it's like,
well, how tall is she?
She's 6 feet tall.
She's 6 feet. Right.
And
yeah, that's, I mean, listen, that's a kind of like an ideal height for women's like fashion. That's right. What they make for runway models.
Right.
Stuff, you know?
But it's so tall in real life.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I feel like I would have the response to her that like some, well, let's just say fan has to me in real life. Although a guy came up to me on the subway today and showed me my picture on the phone and was like, this is you, right? Love your stuff.
That's cool.
And I was like, oh, cool. You know, you look like shit. Almost, let's say, a shitty Adam Sandler when somebody has to verify your identity while looking at your picture on the phone.
Yeah.
But I think six, it's like if I saw her, I would just be expecting her to be 5'8". I don't know why. I just would expect 5'8". And I'd be like, Jesus Christ, you're taller than I thought.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think everybody's doing the Victor Wembanyama made this much as a rookie. First of all, let's not even compare anybody to Victor Wembanyama because I think that guy's going to wreck the fucking NBA.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Agreed. Yeah.
In a different way. He is as much a game changer as Caitlin Clark, but for just free, his Nike logo is like an alien, which is very cool to embrace that kind of like extra, you know, anyway. What was I talking about?
Caitlin Clark and wearing Prada below the knee.
I had another point. Shit. Oh, with people talking about their salaries.
Yes.
It's like, of course she's not making a lot. I mean, it is kind of freakish to see how little she'll be making as a player. Obviously, she's already a millionaire and she's going to be making, but she might be the change agent. Like, they are going to make so much. The women's draft had its highest ratings by like a factor of five.
I know, yeah.
They've never drawn a million humongous for the WNBA draft. It was like 2.5 million.
Yeah.
Like, she is great for the game.
Yep.
And she's fucking nasty at basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she's going to elevate the game. And I think the thing that will take women's basketball to an even to the level that they really want, they should be scouring college
for the
black Caitlin Clark. Like, I know people are like, well, is it? No, because I live in America. That's why you get a black Caitlin Clark. You know, she's probably not going to break her records. I don't think we're going to see somebody break her records for quite some time. But even somebody who can have like this phenomenal season, plays the game, it's gold. Yeah. It's gold. And then you make sure that player does not go to the Indiana Fever.
Yeah, right.
Do a David Stern, Patrick Ewing thing to make sure the fucking ball does not go there.
Yeah.
And you have some major success headed your way. So on that note, race, sports, games changing. I think everybody knows what's coming up next. We're talking baseball after the break. And we're back. Mike, how was your break?
Fantastic. I'm excited for the next topic.
Were you able to buy a Caitlin Clark jersey? They've sold out real quick.
I don't. They don't have them yet. I don't think. Do they? Maybe they do.
They sold out in an hour.
No shit.
Like shoot. Like as soon as they were like available, and now all sizes.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
I would never wear Indiana anything. So I mean, like, you know, no shade to her, but
Okay. I mean, that feels like shade to her. I mean, I thought we were just kind of
shade to her.
I thought we were like lifting her up before the
we
break.
Are. I'm not, it's not a Caitlin Clark thing. It's a Midwest pig thing.
She's a Midwest pig.
She is not a Midwest pig. People in the Midwest are pigs. Wow. She's lovely and wonderful and very talented.
Well, my first girlfriend was from the Midwest. Jeez. She's a lovely doctor in Minnesota now. Jeez, Mike. All right. Well, I guess we'll talk about the next topic. This kind of brought the show down a little bit. But I want to talk about America's pastime.
Yeah.
Namely, they're just saying the past. baseball. Mike, you love baseball and you still do.
I do. Yeah.
Why?
Oh, boy. I wore my Mets hat specifically because I knew we were talking baseball today. There's a lot of reasons, and I think some of it, sports in general, it's not just baseball, but I think a lot of times men pass sports down to each other. I think when my dad was a young man, baseball was the biggest sport in America for sure. So when I was growing
up. Who's his favorite player?
Tom Seaver.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Mets fan.
I know, but still.
Yeah. The franchise, man.
Great, great, great pitcher, but like Tom Seaver.
Three Cy Youngs. 300 wins.
I mean, I'm sorry to call out Mr. Coscarelli right off the bat, but I feel like you can be like, I had a Tom Seaver jersey, or oh, wasn't Tom
the
best? He
has one now.
Right. Wasn't that, but favorite player, I feel like.
Why? Why is that bad? He grew up in the 60s when, and he was a Mets fan in the 60s, when right. the 69 Mets were like
okay.
a big deal for him.
All
you
right.
know?
All right.
Anyway. I grew up a Mets fan, and obviously like baseball was the most important sport in my house growing up, and basketball was second. But
find me a Yankee fan whose favorite Yankee of all time is Whitey Ford.
Whitey Ford was years before Tom Seaver anyway, but Whitey Ford also wasn't like the cornerstone of the Yankees the way that Seaver was. The Mets were built around Seaver for the entire time that they had him, really.
I'm a bigger Mike Seaver fan than I am Tom Seaver.
Why is this weird to you?
I don't know, because Tom Seaver, to me, his stats, I remember seeing his stats and going, ah, he was great. But at the same time, he just, something about him just doesn't strike. Like, I grew, because the problem is, I think that I'm a Yankee guy, obviously. Yeah. And there's just so much more to the Yankees that, like, you talk to somebody.
Right, there's not to the Mets.
I guess that makes sense. But why not?
You got like four people to pick from if you're a Mets fan.
I guess.
My favorite Met growing up was Piazza. And then it was Wright when I was a kid. Now it's Keith Hernandez having like the retrospective.
Yeah. Why is your dad like Piazza?
He does. It's just not his favorite. it's all about when you, this was like the point that I was kind of trying to get to. It's all about when, I think when you're a kid, you're the most impressionable.
Well, I will prove that correct when I tell you my favorite Yankee.
Okay.
Who do you think my favorite Yankee is?
I'm trying to place when you might have been a kid who was on that team. Mattingly's probably a little too late.
Nope.
It is.
You should have just said Don Mattingly.
Was it Matt? It's Mattingly?
Yeah. I don't ever. By the way, nobody in the comments. We want engagement. Comment, share. Do not tell me what Don Mattingly's politics are.
Oh, is he like super?
No, no, no. Hardcore, right? I literally don't know.
Yeah.
And every time I find out a Yankees politics, like it's my favorite players. It's like
Paul O'Neill.
Paul O'Neill is like, Paul O'Neill is like,
anti-vax.
Don't vax me.
Yep.
MAGA.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Mariano Rivera.
Yep.
Rivera.
Trump guy.
Huge Trump guy. What?
Yep. They all those dudes were.
I know.
Jeter
and I hate
too.
I have said this before. I have said Derek Jeter to me is a guy who maybe wasn't a 2020 Trump voter. That's the best I can give him.
Yeah,
I think he was a 2016 Trump voter.
All those guys, man. I mean, Jorge, they're all Trump people. That's why the Yankees suck, dude. Because the Yankees are such a fucking corporate.
And now Aaron Judge is like another one of these. I don't want to talk about my He lists himself as Christian in his Twitter bio. And I've always said this is a motto for me as a church going guy.
Yeah.
If your Twitter bio says, Christian, what is it? Christian patriot, like father.
Yeah.
You're bad at all three.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
I'm sorry to get, because I want to talk about the sport more broadly.
Yeah.
But Mattingly's my favorite. I don't ever want to hear what his politics are ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, that's why I maintain Bernie Williams was left out of the core four, even though he predated the core four.
Interesting.
I think he's like a chill dude. He probably smokes a little bit, loves his guitar.
Well, he definitely does LSD or did LSD.
I see him more as a non-political or a left-leaning guy.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense that he wasn't embraced, except for the fact that Posada was Jeter's best friend.
Right.
Pettit definitely votes MAGA.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Tino Martinez is he Cuban?
I believe he is.
And he's got great hair, so he's definitely a Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I was always like, well, how'd Posada get in the core four when Bernie Williams was, like, the starting center fielder for the Yankees is, like, an iconic position, and somehow Bernie is, like,
yeah,
a side piece to the legacy of that era.
Borderline Hall of Famer,
right,
too.
Yeah. Anyway, that's very specific. We'll get back to it. But generally speaking, okay, so Tom Seaver, I think I've talked you out of it. Your dad, no longer his favorite player. Keep going.
No, and I think that that's a big part of it for us. I mean, I relate. I think of baseball, I think of my dad a lot. And I think that there's a bond that was forged there that keeps me highly invested. But beyond that, I mean, it was the sport that I was best at probably, when I was like younger and played. It's very different than it was when it was best for me when I was younger. But there's something that I like about the fact that it's with you every single day. You get to, and I like that the sport is really, not that like football or whatever aren't thinking sports, but baseball is highly mental. You're the whole point of the game is you're kind of thinking about moves before they happen.
Did you fill out a scorecard, you loser?
Yeah, I love filling out scorecards. I love it. That's one of my favorite. I love filling out scorecards.
I'm not gonna lie, I filled out a scorecard or two in my day.
They're great. It's fun. Going to a baseball game is fun. I do think hockey's the best game to see live, to see live, because it's a lot of action, but I don't know, man. There's just something about baseball. I like the long length of the season. I like being with these guys for the whole summer and every day, basically, of the summer. You get to know these players so much. And baseball is one of the sports where they stay on the teams for probably the longest period of time, which might not be a good thing for them, but that's kind of like the way it shakes out. Basketball, these dudes are constantly moving around. Football, you know, guys kind of come and go. But one of the reasons that I think my dad does love Seaver, since we're like talking about that, is that he had a really long career with the Mets and then they traded him. And even after they traded him, he wanted to come back. You know, you just have this kind of, there's a love affair with baseball that I think is just kind of like,
I think that's codependency. I don't think it's a love affair anymore.
I'm fine. Call it whatever you want. I'm never going to stop watching.
Okay. Well, good. Then they don't have to improve their product at all for you.
Well, so give me the counter here. Why okay. do you used to like baseball?
Used
you
don't to love anymore. Baseball.
Yeah.
I think when they weren't as good.
Did you pitch?
I did when I was young. My uncle, the great regret for my uncle, who was sort of my baseball influence.
Yeah.
He just thought I should have been a pitcher. And if he had been able to get me going to like some real like baseball mechanics camps and getting me just not throwing off a raw talent, but really harness it. Tall, big ass, good arm. Yeah. Like I, you know,
how hard did you throw?
I stopped playing in like eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know. Like, so it was because I wanted to walk dogs. That's how you knew baseball was no longer important. Basketball was the only season I would tell people I can't walk dogs after school or your dog is getting walked later, if that's okay. And soccer and baseball both went away.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to walk dogs, make some money. Yeah. And I like dogs. I like dogs more than baseball. But the 80s were an interesting time. 80s, early 90s, because the Yankees actually weren't successful.
Yep.
They had a couple seasons of good, but you know, that was when there weren't 94 playoff teams.
Yep.
But we had Mattingly, Winfield. We like Steinbrenner brought in superstars, and there was no better superstar in New York. Sorry, Doc Gooden, sorry, Daryl Strawberry, than Don Mattingly. And it's true. I mean, stats wise, I'm not saying bigger star because they won. The Mets won in 86. Mattingly never won a World Series. But
Mattingly's stats
85
any better than Keith Hernandez's stats?
Keith Hernandez hit like a bitch. Mattingly had power numbers. Go look them up. Go look them up.
You keep talking. I'm going to look them up. What Please. Year are we talking about?
85. Look at, first of all, look at 85, 86, 87. 85, 86, 87.
All right.
Do you realize 85 is Mattingly's MVP season?
And 86.
86, he won. He was runner up to Clemens and should have won his second MVP.
All right. Keith in 86 hit. Well, he was not a home run hitter, but he hit 83, 84, 85, 86. He hit 300 4 years in a row.
Ooh.
Well, what do you mean? Woo.
Look at Mattingly. You obviously don't know how fucking nasty Mattingly was.
I thought Mattingly, of course, was good.
No. Mattingly was his back. He is a Hall of Famer if he doesn't have back trouble.
I know.
Yeah. Like, he just is.
Keith should be in. If Keith didn't do drugs, he'd be in.
He's probably doing coke, right?
Tons of coke.
Yeah, to get him. It's a performance enhancer.
No, it's not. First off, everybody was on greenies.
Not Mattingly.
Yes, Mattingly's 85 is very good. He hit 324.
Look what he did in 86.
86, he hit 352. It's a good year. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It is a good year. Gold glove and a silver slug. That's good.
Yeah, he won 8 gold gloves. I know Hernandez won 12 or something. But once
11,
you win,
I think.
Once you win 8 gold gloves and you hit the shit out of the ball, you're the better first baseman. Like, as a package. Sorry, Keith. Wow. I know you're on Seinfeld, but Don Mattingly was too busy being better at baseball than you.
Yeah, I don't know. All those playoff moments that Don Mattingly didn't have.
Except in 95. By the way, 400 hitter off of Randy Johnson as a lefty.
They lost in the first round.
Yeah, but when he hit that fucking home run, go look.
Oh,
when
great. He hit one home run.
Oh, no. No, you got to understand.
Pete's got two rings.
Piazza hitting a home run after 9/11. It was that level.
They lost.
So the Mets.
They fucking lost.
But it's still an amazing moment.
The Mets didn't lose that.
They didn't win the World Series.
No. Well, hold on. What are we talking about?
When Piazza hit that like regular season home run after 9/11,
that was a beautiful moment. Yeah, right. But they didn't. They won that game.
See, unlike you Met savages, I can appreciate Met greatness.
You're so, I can appreciate Yankee greatness. And that's part of the issue here. So this is the thing, JL.
This is devolving. I wanted to keep this broad.
This is what I fucking hate about Yankees fans so much. Because Yankees fans love to change the conversation. Because when the Yankees are all about winning until we're having a conversation about Mattingly and Keith Hernandez. All of a sudden, winning doesn't matter. Mattingly, a lifetime loser. Lifetime loser. Never won a thing.
Mattingly is the tragic hero of New York sports. Sorry, Patrick Ewing.
You've got to be Mattingly fucking first. Kidding me.
No.
The tragic hero of New York sports.
Yes.
He was on teams that he made the playoffs one time.
He was a better baseball player than anybody on the Mets when they were winning in the 80s. Doc Gooden, although pretty special for a couple of years.
Dude, I don't know if I agree with that. Gooden's 84 and then 85 are at 85 is one of the best seasons ever pitched. Ever.
Probably not better than Ron Guidry's Cy Young season anyway. And Ron Guidry was a winner, you son of a bitch.
Guidry was a winner. That's right.
And by the way, Louisiana Lightning, there's just no doubt he's MAGA.
So, but hold on. Before we move on, you don't love this. You don't love this?
No, but you're,
you can do this with baseball?
I can live in the present. Because what I'm doing is I'm getting off track, getting too nitty-gritty specific.
Yes, okay.
But you're saying the recall of stats, the comparisons, the rivalries, the nostalgia?
Baseball is historical aspect to baseball that sets it apart from other sports in America. And maybe one day it won't matter as much. But the fact that you can have conversations where you can compare Babe Ruth, who, like, by today's standards, I feel like wouldn't be a great baseball player, compare him. You can have conversations like, could Babe Ruth hit Pedro Martinez?
Yeah.
And that's a fun thing to do, to take a guy from, you know, 19. When did
20s.
Yeah, 20s. Yeah, right. And try to match him up against somebody that played 100 years later.
I think is awesome to me. I think Lou Gehrig would have crushed it today because he just looked like he gave a shit more than Babe Ruth.
A real athlete. Yeah,
right. Like Babe Ruth looked like he looked like he right.
You know?
Like Lou Gehrig looked like he played today. If you just look at the jaw and the shoulders, yes. You're like, oh, that guy's got a weight training program.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fucking 190 RBIs.
Right. Right. Yes.
Babe Ruth. But still, does it matter? Babe Ruth put up monster numbers.
Right.
Anyway. I think the way I would view baseball is I think, and this gets it now, I want to make it a little broader to explain why I think it's a dying sport. I feel like the way I feel about rap in uh-huh. the '90s is how I feel about baseball from like 1940 to like 2000. When did the Yankees win their last World Series? In 2009. Yeah. And I would even say the O's start to like, it starts to get not as cool, but 01 to me, even though the Yankees lost, to me, that was like...
You don't think 04 was cool?
Not that cool.
You didn't think that? Come on, dude. That's
how
a
could
yes
I
Yankee
fucking think
shit.
04 could be cool?
But
I
from, thought a baseball, 03, from a baseball
I thought
moment.
03 was
course,
awesome.
Of course, of course.
I almost lost friends for real in yes. Boston yes. when I sent a text when Boone... Like, the ball had not yet landed in yes. a mitt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was texting, like, never gonna beat us!
Yep, yep.
I may have jinxed. Nobody ever examines that actually I may have ended the curse of the Bambino just by taunting too much.
Yeah.
01, to me, was sad because they didn't win, but at the same time was, like, I think the greatest, even though they lost.
Yeah,
because I don't think baseball will ever have a moment like that again. Obviously, 9/11 is playing into this, but the fact that New York was in the World Series after 9/11,
yeah,
that they were a dynasty, that it took an amazing Hall of Fame duo to defeat the Yankees, that Rivera like finally had a moment of imperfection, even though if they don't fucking shift the infield,
yeah,
it's no big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
If Brocious turns two or whatever the fuck he did instead of it's somewhere in the back of my head.
Yeah.
But I think 01 is where I would say now for Red Sox fans, for Cubs fans, they would pick different years for when baseball was at its peak. But I think baseball after 01 for me is when it started to fade. Even though I thought 01 was amazing. It wasn't losing in 01. Like the 09 championship, as much as I wanted A-Rod to win, because I am a fan of A-Rod.
Yeah.
It was just like cool, but it no longer had that hold on me.
Well, you know what starts happening around 01, JL?
The war on terror?
Well, that. Analytics.
Oh, now you're going to make my case for it. Thank you for steering it that way.
Go ahead. Get your point off.
Well, analytics, like I think that's you bring up. I think steroids should have been kept in baseball.
Me too. I agree.
Just let's be honest and say the game was so fucking fun in the 90s.
Yeah.
It just was.
And I don't care that they took steroids.
I care. The only reason to care is because baseball, you should appreciate this as a fan of the history of the game. That's the only reason it really matters is that if people are doing Balco shit and destroying records like Barry Bonds, the fact remains, people love to be like, he's the best ever. He's the best ever. He was a Hall of Fame MVP guy before steroids.
Yeah.
But the people who deny the fact that he became a fucking video game superstar after steroids, like there was no difference. And it didn't happen. It wasn't like he repeated his 20s. It fucking happened from like age 35 on. He became an inflated, like...
He's humongous.
He-Man.
Yeah. He looks huge.
And people will say things like, well, you know, you can't, steroids don't make you hit the ball. They don't work on your eye. I don't know what the fuck they do. I just know that I looked at Barry Bonds and what he was doing pre and post steroids, and it was way different. Like Barry Bonds walked 400 times. He only got 9 at bats and hit 9 grand slams that season. It's like,
yeah. But I also think, first off,
but it's the history that matters to baseball, which is why it's more important than any other sport that the records have some degree. Because when people are like, you know, Babe Ruth was fucking, you know, doing like, you know, I don't know what the, he was drinking the Coca-Cola with real cocaine before games.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the same thing. Barry Bonds was engineered in a lab, well, like right. basically.
Do amphetamines make you better at baseball? Because throughout the late 60s into the, or probably early 90s, every baseball player.
Right. That's why I say, Mr. Coscarelli, get out of here with your Tom Seaver. The guy was high as a kite.
But I think throughout the history, and this is one of the reasons that I also like baseball, is the truth is that baseball is a scoundrel's game. And this was how I felt.
I thought I was the old guy here.
No, but it, like, dude, it has always been the type of game where it's like dirty shit is kind of encouraged, and not necessarily even encouraged, but there's like, there.
I want to compare this to like a card game.
Okay.
Oh, I have a secret ace up my sleeve. That's amphetamines. Barry Bonds was like, yeah, we came in here with AR-15s and robbed the casino before the game even started.
No, but like, listen, man, I think so Bonds, it might be in a bit of a different category. And I don't,
as are all those guys. I don't want, Bonds is the leader, but like Maguire, Sosa, like, and Sosa is the worst in my opinion, because Sosa is the only guy who doesn't have a pre-steroid track record.
Sure.
Of yeah. excellence. Like Maguire.
Well, he was a speed guy. He was like a speed right. finesse guy.
Maguire hit 49 homers as a rookie. Right. Like a lanky rookie. Like he had the natural power. He just became Paul Bunyan.
Here's the thing though. He wasn't that lanky. He looks lanky, but he's a huge guy, dude. He's sure. tall. So I think lanky looks, you know, different on smaller frames. Like, Ty Cobb was probably lanky. And Ty Cobb, I don't think was the same type of, or Bob Felt. Like,
would Ty Cobb be the favorite baseball player of Donald Trump today if he were playing?
Oh yeah.
Like he'd be 100%. At events, right?
The most racist, horrible guy. Yeah. Horrible guy. But I think that like the steroid era, it's also one of the first eras in baseball where guys are like lifting. And I think that's part of lifting culture. And I'm not necessarily excusing the fact, but it's like, do you really think Babe Ruth would be like, no, I can't, this is going to make me hit the ball harder or faster or whatever. Those guys would have done it. Just science wasn't there yet. If they really believed that they could like be professional athletes and spend that much time in a weight room and drink green juices and like all these things that they just had no, Babe Ruth was unhealthy and he was a professional athlete and he was the best professional athlete of his time. You got to really kind of put that stuff in context. And I think that matters. You know, Mark McGuire's taking creatine and stuff. And it, like, yes, all that shit's going to make you stronger.
Well, as Jose Canseco said, the Andro was just a distraction from the steroids. He like left the Andro bottle in his,
yeah,
in his locker. This now. Okay. So just, that was a lot of details for people who hate baseball. Yeah. But steroids should have stayed, I think.
Okay.
But the analytics thing, and it's the same thing that I think is poisoning the NBA.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's shifts, but the worst thing to happen to baseball, the single worst thing, the home run swing.
Yeah.
Like it's better to hit 205 with 41 solo homers.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Like that is something a commissioner has to be like, we have to find a way to like change this, you know, in the way the home run. And it's worse because in the NBA, if a guy hits, like if a team shoots a lot of three pointers, the skill level in the NBA now is such that most teams have several guys who can really shoot the ball. The scores get really high,
yeah,
but you don't see a ton of games. It's rare that a good shooting team is like, we shot 2 for 27 from three.
Right.
Very rare. In baseball, no, it's not rare. It's not rare that you have guys swinging for the fences and it's like, we struck out 14 times. Yeah. Like when I see a player like Aaron Judge, you know, with like 50 home runs and like 104 RBIs or something, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
A guy with 50 home runs 20 years ago would have had 160 RBIs.
Yeah.
What is happening? And to me, you talk about a game, hits or defense. That's the excitement. You take that out of baseball. Now it's, you just took a slow game and made it ridiculously slow and boring.
Yeah.
If all it is outs and solo home runs.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's why I think them banning the shift was a really good idea. I think the game flows a lot better now than it did 2 years ago. I like the pitch clock. It hasn't been that much of a distraction, to be honest. It just kind of keeps the game moving. Because the thing was, man, if you watch a game from, I don't know, even the 90s, guys didn't really fuck around out there. They, you know, pitchers went out. They knew what they were going to throw.
Sometimes they'd even pitch a complete game.
Well, and it's funny. I was looking at some of these Guidry and Gooden stats. Both of them. Gooden's 85 is a little better than Guidry's 70, whatever, 78, I guess. Uh-huh. But they're fairly comparable. They both threw 16 complete games that they're in their like Cy Young years.
Right.
You know, which just doesn't happen anymore. And there's a lot of things.
But that's one of those things where I go, what's like all the expert? I feel like baseball has experted its way out of good baseball.
Well, now you have a bunch of like finance guys basically like trying to outsmart each other. And that's who the hell would want to watch that? I get that aspect of it. And Manfred is such a bad commissioner. Top to bottom, he's just like, he's proceeded over the worst, or presided, whatever. He's presided over the worst era of baseball. Because it was unwatchable, really, from like, 17 to a couple years ago, you know? And it's a bummer, man, because it was so exciting. And I think that one of the other things, and I don't know if you have more like points that you wanted to make, but I think that a big part of this for me is that sports media doesn't care about baseball at all. They don't do the type of things that they used to do to give baseball the proper spotlight that it needs to thrive. And it's funny to me that if you watch sports, like I was watching SportsCenter last night, I was trying to just catch some baseball highlights it's like 3 weeks into the season. It's a brand new baseball season. I watched SportsCenter for about a half an hour. They didn't even mention baseball. It was all basketball and hockey and football for some reason.
Well, football won't take its foot off the neck.
But that's the thing. So it's like ESPN has this obsession with football, and I get it because it's like it's now America's sport. But when I was a kid, I'm a little younger than you are.
And I feel like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think also, and this is just a thought I just had, I feel like baseball is not as fun maybe for the gambling world, which is becoming such a dominant presence in sports, like coverage. It's like gambling is like embedded now so quickly. It's and I don't know, like when I'm on a gambling app, basketball, hockey seem like fun. Like baseball, I'm just like, I don't even know. I honestly don't even know what, like sometimes what they mean by like what, 4.5 is basketball. I'm gonna bet on basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that like when I was a kid, they had Baseball Tonight on every night on ESPN. So every night I would watch it with my dad.
Peter Gammons follows me on Twitter, by the way.
Peter Gammons is like one of the guys that you had baseball celebrities. Peter Gammons was like a big deal.
Right.
You know, like he was a huge deal, man. And you had all these dudes that were just like, they had the Web Gem highlights and they would talk about baseball for an hour. And I think it's insane that ESPN would rather put like NFL Live in the middle of the offseason in the middle of July on like a Tuesday night than baseball highlights. They have a fucking game that's in season and they're just like, if we get to it, we get to it. That's crazy to me.
It's crazy, but it feels right to me. And it's sad, but it's like, I think of guys right now, like Mike Trout.
Yeah.
I think so emblematic of like Ohtani was an important story because it was like, he was so extraordinary that he broke through the trend of baseball, which was like Mike Trout, you probably statistically one of like the 10 best players ever. Who gives a fuck?
He's a very boring guy playing on bad teams. You want to talk about Mattingly? I mean, Trout has never
talked about Mattingly.
Yeah, he's been in the playoffs for like three games and that was it.
But that's also, but that's the thing. Don Mattingly, they had some bad years, but the truth is in the mid 80s, they were competitive. It was just one team won the division.
Right.
But it's like Mattingly even said when he made the wild card, you know, in his last season, they were like, how do you feel making it this week? He goes, well, we won 100 games one year and we didn't make the playoffs. So like, I'm not here to be like, oh, this doesn't feel real.
Right.
Like when we won 100 games, the other team won 102 and we didn't even get to go to the playoffs. But like Mike Trout, it's weird to have one of the greats, like even A-Rod. A-Rod, even though Texas was kind of a failure, he had great success with Seattle, team success and personal success. That's the problem. I mean, my solution for baseball is very simple.
Tell me.
And I know this has been kind of rambling because, you know,
there's so much to cover.
There's so much to cover and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Because it's baseball.
Right.
And this is a sort of piggybacking off the Caitlin Clark argument I had earlier in the show. See how it all comes together, Mike?
Yeah.
Baseball needs to create its own racially segregated teams. And I mean like, not that you'll have a team that's like, this is the Latin team, this is the Asian team, this, but you need a few teams that have like no white guys. Mm-hmm. And you need a couple of teams with no Latin guys. And you need to have these clashes of culture. I'm saying this because I think America is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Not that I want to see race wars or conflict. But that's why Caitlin Clark is the first time Caitlin Clark gets her ass busted by a black veteran in the WNBA highlights Instagram.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Yeah. When she torches somebody, it's gonna be like, oh, she can't handle the WNBA competition. Shut up, Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
And with baseball, you need more of that. Who was the catcher? Not the catcher. He was on the Giants, I think. Maybe he was a pitcher. And he was one of these, like, or Braves, one of those teams, like a play it the right way, like hated when like a Latin dude. And I think he was probably racist, which helps.
Son Rocker?
No. You're going into my era. I forget which it was, you know, if it was like a Yasiel Puig or somebody, you know, walking, you know, trotting around the bases, watching their home run. And I forget what pitcher it was. But he's
at him?
Who?
Someone threw at Puig.
It was more than that. It was like ready to fight and like yelling at him as he trots the bases. And I don't know if it was Puig. But it was a Latin play, a Latin star.
Yeah.
And then a top tier white pitcher.
Was it Bumgarner?
It might have been Bumgarner.
That sounds like Bumgarner. He was a psycho.
But you know what? Sometimes you need, like, John Rocker would be welcome back in my Major League Baseball.
Well, yeah, and you had these characters. I think that's part of it too, man. Yeah, it's Puig and Bumgarner.
Oh, but thank you. See, look at me. Even when I was not quite paying attention anymore.
Yeah, big time fight. Bumgarner loved to fight.
But he also, I think he was, if I had to just guess, I'd be like, racist.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's a Texas guy.
Right. Okay, yeah. there
or
you go.
Arizona.
But maybe not. But let's play, you know, that's why Conor McGregor does so well.
Right.
Because not only is he talented and says racist things, you kind of believe.
Yeah.
The stakes feel higher.
Yeah.
And let's stop pretending. It's the same way I said Matt Gaetz should have given the rebuttal for the Republicans during the State of the Union.
Yeah.
Let's stop pretending. Okay. I'm tired. Like, let me be cynical for once.
Yeah.
And say, baseball, embrace some of this stuff. If you want eyeballs, you know, baseball and pro sports have never really been in the business of being like earning an honest, good, wholesome dollar. Dollars. The more dollars, the better.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't talk about steroids for a while until they got caught, because they knew it was great for business.
Of course.
And I say, let's get some John Rocker types.
It's just too corporate, dude. I think that's a major part of
what
is not great about sports in general right now. You had times where I think people were just like, John Rocker let it fly because it, like, you know.
And he was a big, strong, scary dude. Like,
that's one of the craziest interviews. For those who don't know, John Rocker was a relief pitcher on the Braves in the late 90s. And the Braves and the Mets have a rivalry. He hated New York. And he gave this quote to Jeff Perlman, who was a Sports Illustrated writer. And the quote was basically how much he hates New York because you ride the train to Shea Stadium and you're sitting with, you know, a Puerto Rican guy and a single mother and a queer guy with AIDS. And this was in Sports Illustrated. He just didn't give a fuck. And like, that's the thing, man. It made for a great, it became an instant villain, you know?
And I'm
sorry. Sports need drama.
Yes.
You can't really have drama if nobody's willing to be like a true bad guy. You know, that's why the 86 Mets were cool, because they were the ones that, you know, the book, again, Jeff Perlman, the bad guys won because they were getting into fights on field. There was like a, I do think there is like a level of, I'm not, and you know,
to talk about that team, would you agree that Lenny Dykstra is in real life the worst person from that team?
Oh, easily. Like, I don't think it's even worth discussing.
He's like not a good person.
He's been in jail for like pyramid schemes and like all sorts of stuff. Yeah, he seems like a real bad guy. Where I think that like Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry like had their demons, but yeah. I think that they've spent a lot of time like trying to conquer them and be better people.
I think Strawberry did. I think Gooden still has problems.
I think here and there. But yeah. Like Gooden just had his number retired. But I think that 86 team at the time, you know, they were coked up and they were good and they had a fucking attitude. And I do think like
Gary Carter was like the Tim Tebow of the team.
Oh, yeah. Super Christian. Kind of lame. But he was my mom's favorite. And we were kind of just like, this guy,
mom,
you know,
much better than Tom Seaver.
Yeah. But
the kid, if I'm recalling correctly,
it was a sarcastic nickname because the Expos hated him when he came up. But anyway,
is that how like my friends will refer to me as the comedian? It's a sarcastic nickname.
Maybe.
Oh, all
right. But I think that the one place where there should be toxic masculinity is on ball fields. That's it. I'm like not a fucking toxic alpha male bro guy, whatever, but I do think baseball is more fun when these guys are throwing at each other and going to get into a fist fight and having collisions at second base and home plate, which they've gotten out of the game. Like, it's not really a tough guy sport anymore. And that's fine. I think modern players like it that way. They're big investments now, but it does make the game not as fun to watch. And that's kind of one of the great things about hockey that still exists. It's like, I don't even think hockey's overly macho, but like they haven't gotten fighting out of the game. It just makes it feel like these guys really care. And that's the thing, man. When you're watching people represent like your city and your team, you want guys that are going to have a little like fuck you in them, you know? And I think that's kind of been forced out of the game because it's a corporate product now. People want to bring their kids and they want to do deals with, you know, Coca-Cola and Gatorade and whatever. So it's.
But like, for instance, the Houston Astros probably had an opportunity to be marketed as bad boys. I mean, they got caught fucking cheating.
Kinda. Yeah,
but then they won.
Right.
And then they won. That was a big, you know, that you should have had like Altuve in like on camera or something doing this. And then you're like, whoa, shit. The game became boring. The culture of the game became boring.
Yeah.
And that's a double loser. And that's why I just don't even Aaron Judge, who I'm a fan of, it's like, there's, you know, it's like Jeter at least showed like charisma, even though I wasn't a fan of his game.
Oh, so boring, dude.
No, but of course I'm not. No, I'm. But it's like, and maybe that was just because there was a lot of winning. So you get a lot of fist pumps and a lot of like, but Aaron Judge is at least, you know, home runs are more exciting than opposite field singles.
Yeah, yeah.
That announcers would just bend over backwards to be like, did you see how he couldn't get around on it? Stop acting like he like hits 90% of his shit between second and first because he's just poking holes through the defense. But
one of the great overrated careers,
even though when you look at the numbers, it's incredible. The aggregate.
I don't think it's incredible. I think it's good.
I mean, he has the fifth most hits or sixth most hits in MLB history. And I'm not a Jeter guy. He's like sixth on the list.
Let me check that. I don't know if that's true.
Will that change your opinion slightly?
Let's see.
I mean, I think he made over 30.
He's not. Oh, he is. He's sixth. You're right. Holy shit.
For me being the baseball guy who's like excommunicated himself, I still got some good recall.
Yeah, I mean, listen, lifetime 310 batting average, only 10 points higher than Keith, who's not in the Hall of Fame, but you know, whatever. I don't know, man. I think that Derek Jeter, much like Michael Jordan, has the benefit of the Nike PR machine. I think it always helps.
Well, Michael Jordan catching an unexpected stray.
It's just there are people that are... That
Michael
are,
Jordan would say, I made. He would probably say, I made the Nike brand matter.
But the difference is you have people that are involved that and have a weighted interest in being... in making you the biggest star in the world.
Yeah.
Because Jeter at no point in his career was better than A-Rod. And then they made A-Rod play third base when he got to the Yankees.
And that's why him and A-Rod aren't friends anymore, because A-Rod said that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
I just think baseball, I don't think it's going to recover. That's my real verdict for baseball, is that I think they've almost hockeyed themselves a little bit in terms of how they started from such a position of strength in the culture and have not adapted. The game was always it was never going to be able to compete with MMA or hockey for speed or for intensity, but you sort of don't have a culture around baseball that's interesting anymore. And I know there's diehards like you. There are millions of diehard baseball fans still, but it's like there is no doubt that baseball is now a sort of distant third, I would think, behind football and basketball.
It's easily. I mean, if it even is third.
And soccer is going to surpass baseball like soon, if it hasn't already.
Which blows my mind, but
I know. For baseball to lose because it's not as exciting as soccer is a real slap in the face.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. So my solution is get steroids back in baseball,
which I support.
Invest in villains, market villains. Let's steer some teams to be more race-based and let's get some of the racist MAGA players who are good to start throwing at the heads of like flashy Latin players. And let's really ramp this up. Let's get John Racker in there announcing games. Uncensored, you know, just
like a secondary feed,
like an ESPN2. Yeah. You can hear the Rocker feed
where he talks about queers with AIDS.
But I was going to have Vinny come on, but I think baseball put Vinny to sleep.
Yeah, we might want to take a break.
We are going to take a break. So everybody. This is the kind of situation, I think, where you see this was art, I think, what we made here, Mike, because it may have seemed aimless and too long and not enough punch and not exciting enough. But in that, we have made the case for why baseball now sucks. And we'll be back with Comedy Talk.
And now. We bring on somebody very special to the Rain on the Parade podcast to talk about whatever he likes. Un uomo che non sa né leggere né scrive. Vincenzo Agenzero, a.k.a. Vinny the Guinea.
Oh, what's up, Mike?
Vinny,
what's
good
up,
to see you, buddy? How you doing? We're talking baseball. You kind of missed it.
I saw the macaroon. That's what I call him. The half a black. He went to the bathroom, so I said, "I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do the punch down of the week." You know, he's this guy. He's always complaining. He seems like a little bit of a softy.
Yeah, not a man's man like you.
Yeah, it's always like, "Hey, he said something mean on Twitter." Yeah. Like Jesus Christ, yeah, dude, yeah. Get over it.
Yeah.
And I saw you were talking about baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we had a whole Yankee Mets thing going on.
Oh, me and my pal, we're Yankee people. You know that.
I know you are, Vinny.
Fucking Yankees.
Nothing has ever been more clear to me in my life.
But let me tell you something. You know, obviously we love Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, got
greatest,
it.
Greatest Yankee ever, yep. Obviously. But what do you think about this new kid? Volpe. Hey, Volpe. Is he probably, he might be the best, like, pure Italian guy we've had on the Yankees since Joey D.
Did you say pure Italian?
Pure, 100% uncut. He's cut because, you know, you got to get the circumcision. You know, we're not like some people, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so he's the best. I think he might be. Have they had any other Italians recently?
I don't think Volpe is.
No, I think 100%. No. Watch your fucking mouth.
I don't think so.
Well, no, what I'm telling you right now is. The Yankees used to like Phil Pepe. Remember, yeah. They used to have a lot of Italian, and now it's.
Rizzuto.
Phil Rizzuto. And now they go to what? They go to like fucking Dominican Panama for fucking guys.
Yeah. I mean, Volpe is a Jersey guy, but he is
St. Benedict's. St. Benedict's, the pride of St. Benedict's. Good guy.
I got bad news, buddy. I think he's half Filipino.
Anthony Volpe.
Yeah. Let me look it up. Yeah.
You looking up the right one?
Yes, I am.
So you're telling me he's only half Italian?
He is only half Italian. The good half, though, right?
Hey. All right. But now he can't be a made guy.
Why would he be a made guy? He plays baseball.
What you obviously don't know these things, Mike, and I know that you're also not a purebred.
It's true, yeah.
Okay, so like you're probably not in the meetings like me and my father and my uncle.
That's a good point.
But what the fuck? What happened? Was it like an overseas thing? Was he fighting and got like horny? Like was his dad like a troop?
I don't know. I think his mom is just a beautiful Filipino lady.
I thought I had a Sebastian Maniscalco, not a Joe Coy.
Do you not go outside of, you never hook up with like a Hispanic chick or something? Nothing?
No, I've already said I got a side. That's a side chick. That's a, you don't.
But not the main chick. Main chick's got to be Italian.
You don't get married at St. Fibonacci Fanucci, my home parish in Bayonne.
Yeah.
To some, it's like, that's what Friday night is for, Mike.
Sure. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were a ladies' man. I thought you knew these things.
Yeah, but I like all types.
No, I didn't say you can't. Excuse me. Oh, I like all types. Oh, I'm getting PC. I didn't say I didn't like all types. I've been in all types.
Sure. Okay.
Even in one, one chick who might have been like a Meghan Markle type. All right. So, that's not on the record.
Uh huh.
No, but you get, when you go, see that? That's God punishing for. No, when you walk down the aisle at St. Fibonacci Fanucci, the patron saint of pastries.
Yeah.
That's a sacred place. That's an Italian. That's for Italians.
I get it.
Okay, so I thought I had a Sebastian Maniscalco playing shortstop. Is he shortstop, right?
Yeah, he's shortstop.
Shortstop. Okay. You know, we had Jeter.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Not Italian.
Never the biggest fan of Jeter, to be honest. It's like, we get it. His parents are at the games.
He's a macaroon himself.
Well, he is.
Yeah.
Look at his parents. His parents, great. Keep showing that. My fucking niece is watching the TV. She's got to see that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. He's a real J.L. Covan.
His fucking dad sitting there with his mom, like everything's hunky dory.
Yeah.
Get off the TV. And now I gotta watch Volpe's mom, Josephine Coy.
Yeah.
Sitting there telling bad jokes about the Philippines. But anyway, now I feel like I've been punched down. I feel like you punched me down.
I didn't mean to do it. I'm the bearer of bad news this week. I'm sorry, Vinny.
But it's, why didn't they name him like Park Volpe? So I know that he's like from Asia.
I don't think Park is a Filipino name, is it?
Chan Volpe.
Okay. I mean, it's a fair complaint, I guess. But
well, anyway. Now I'm in a bad mood, so we might as well do a punch down of the week.
Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah. JLX, like, he's got fucking problems, and I just found out Anthony Volpe is fucking singing lead for the fucking Journey. Don't stop believing. I stopped believing.
Yeah.
When I went to a Journey, I went to Journey, I was like, where the fuck is Steve Perry? Who is this guy? Unbelievable.
What do you got?
Don't rush me, Mikey. All right. So JL, he posts on Twitter. This guy wrote that Justice Thomas, the great Clarence Thomas, one of the few that I like.
Yeah.
Justice Thomas is not in court for Monday's Supreme Court oral arguments. And JL said a very nasty thing. He said, OJ needs a travel buddy? Suggesting that maybe Clarence Thomas was going to go the same route as O.J. Simpson, R.I.P. to the juice.
Right.
And then some guy on Twitter replies, no, but Harlan Crowe does. And even I know that Harlan Crowe is the guy who actually takes Clarence Thomas on vacations.
Why? Why do you know that?
Because Fox News
Oh, okay.
had to fucking prove the truth instead of what the fake news was doing.
Right.
So I don't give a fuck about the Supreme Court, but like when they're going to say fake shit,
yeah,
you know, Fox has to correct them.
Of course. Right.
And so this guy apparently, you know, I don't like JL's humor and I think it's very disrespectful to Clarence Thomas, but clearly he was implying Justice Thomas is maybe dead. Uh-huh. And this guy takes it literally and says, no, but Harlan Crow does. It's a very stupid joke, but it's an even dumber response. Punchdown of the week. I got to get out of here. I got to look up all my favorite players because...
You got to make sure that there's no Filipinos in there.
This Anthony Volpe thing is...
Yeah.
You know, I don't... And don't you fucking... If my ma calls the studio, don't you fucking dare tell her.
I'll keep it between us.
It's she asked for a Volpe jersey for Mother's Day.
But now she can't. You have to get her like...
Well, I don't know. They sold out. Ma, they sold out of the jerseys, ma. I don't know. I wanted to get it. He's so popular. He's so popular. So instead, you know, I got this throwback DiMaggio jersey.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, so I'm out of here. Thank you.
Vinny, it's always good seeing you. I'm sorry that I had to break the news to you, buddy. And there he goes. He's upset.
Well, boy, that was one angry Italian storming out of the studio.
Yeah, I had to break some bad news to him.
But. Somebody is not asking for consent tonight. Jeez. Anyway, let's talk about a special and get out of here. I've taken up enough of everybody's time. Next week is going to be a very special episode. Hopefully we've had some baseball fans, some Caitlin Clark fans, et cetera.
Yeah.
Enjoying the sport, heavy sports themed episode.
Yeah.
But, I watched Neil Brennan's new special. I'm going to give you two quick ones from Netflix. Can you look up the name of Neil Brennan's special and the name of Dimitri Martin's special? Watched them both. La, 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 la. I'm waiting it. Should have had this before.
Probably, but, yeah, definitely should have.
But my mouth is killing me. Well, anyway. I'll talk about Neil Brennan's first. Neil Brennan's...
Is it called 40? No, that's not it.
Neil Brennan's new special. Just go on Netflix, look up Neil Brennan, and pick the one that says
Crazy Good.
Was it Crazy Good? Is that the 2024?
Looks like it.
Yes. Week ago? Yes, Crazy Good. I liked it because he's funny, but it's one of those specials where I'm just like, he incorporates a little bit of tech into it to be, I guess, unique and cute. Like when he's referring to somebody like FaceTiming or sending a tweet, he'll like... turn into that screen on camera, which doesn't help the live audience, but as an after product. But he's a very funny guy. He's obviously one of the big writers behind the Chappelle Show. But it was just, it's just sort of like solid, you know? And this has been my critique of a lot of the elites in comedy and why I praise Jim Gaffigan's last special so much is that I feel like a lot of these guys, they get into a sweet zone and they know how to write their jokes and they know how to be funny. And they just sort of keep hitting, to make a baseball analogy, they keep hitting 305 with 20 homers and 80 RBIs and just keep delivering the good. But you want to see comedy, unlike baseball. I want to see big swings. I like it when people take big swings and sometimes you miss, but I feel like a lot of people, the money in comedy is so good. Like, it's like, why rock the boat? Why try to do something totally different when you can just kind of keep doing what you do? So it's a good special. If you've never seen any Neil Brennan, you watch it, you'll be like, this is hilarious. But it feels like I've seen it before. And then Dimitri Martin, I was curious about because it's been a while. It's been a minute since I've seen Dimitri Martin content.
It's called Deconstructed.
Oh, thank you. Good producing, Mike.
Thanks, man.
By the way, if you cut to Mike's camera right now, you'll see a man so who is tired. Done.
Yeah, I got nothing left.
Dimitri Martin, I thought it was good. These were both good. But Dimitri Martin's, I think I almost liked a little better because I haven't seen him in so long. And I was never a huge fan of him. He's kind of that offbeat wordplay, a little gimmicky, a little nerdy. But, and this one, he incorporates too much like jazziness in it for my taste. But that one was good and a little more interesting, a little more different than maybe Neil Brennan's. But that's it. I've taken up too much of your time. Next week's is going to be a killer fucking episode. But for the five people who love baseball, maybe this was a killer episode. So good. So Mike, I thank you.
Thank you, JL. I love being here.
You fought the good fight.
Yeah.
Next week is my birthday. So maybe just be a little more chipper next week just for me.
We're coming into the daytime. So that'll be
helpful. Coming into the daytime. So that's it, everybody. Thank you for watching and or listening. rate and review the show, subscribe, follow, tell a friend,
engage,
and we will see you next Thursday.